Music and Booze with Mo is produced and distributed by Eats Drinks TV, a service of the Center for Culinary Culture, home of the Cocktail Collection, and First Reel Entertainment, and is available wherever fine podcasts can be heard. The Center for Culinary Culture, telling the story of food and drink, one taste at a time. Welcome to Music and Booze with Mo. I'm Mo Herms, and I've worked in the music industry most of my life, so have met some pretty amazing musicians over the years. I also love a good cocktail, and I've encountered some really interesting bartenders as well. It seems that there is a lot of crossover, so when I can, I like to talk to musicians and bartenders about music and booze. Join us at the bar, won't you? Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you by The Mermaid, a cozy neighborhood bar with an aquatic flair in the Little Tokyo area of downtown LA. Open 7 days a week, featuring tropical cocktails and snacks, The Mermaid also has a daily happy hour from 5 to 8 p.m. Follow The Mermaid on Instagram at TheMermaidLA to hear about upcoming events and check them out at TheMermaidLA.com. Head to 428 East 2nd Street, Los Angeles, for a drink. Phoenix, Arizona is not really the first place you think of when you're thinking of culinary destinations, but in the last decade or so, they've really come around and they've got lots of awards and nominations to show for it. I'm going to talk to Libby Lingua, who is one of the co-masterminds behind Highball in Phoenix, Arizona, and it is a bar that opened in late 2020 while the pandemic was at a lull before it kind of surged back up, but they peeked their head out the door and said, hey, maybe we can give this a go. And now they have a nomination from Tales of the Cocktail as Best Regional Bar to show for it. So Libby will go through her stories of, wearing stilettos and making money in the nightclubs, serving drinks, and how she had a turn at Undertow, another award-winning bar in Phoenix, learning how to make the most complicated of drinks. And finally, all of it came together so that now she is involved in Highball and also co-owner of her own consulting business, Two Hands Cocktail Consulting. So let's talk to Libby.
So, all right, well, we should talk about this stuff, what we're here to do today. So thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate you taking the time because you have so much. I mean, when I met you, you were still at Undertow. And then you became a partner in what I think is your own business, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And there's so much going on with you. And so I would love to talk music and booze with you, but first introduce yourself and maybe a little tagline about yourself too.
Yeah. So my name is Libby Lingua. I've been in the beverage industry for probably 12 years now. Mm-hmm. Started bartending in college, like most people do. Just to kind of get by. And, you know, all of my friends were slightly older than I was. So it was like, I can be 18 serving beers at a dive bar and like still kind of be out socializing with my friends. Mm-hmm. Fast forward to now, I've lived in Phoenix for, like I said, 10 years now. And I kind of just like worked my way up through hospitality. Originally started in nightclubs, then golf courses, and then restaurants. Mm-hmm. Kind of skipped around a little bit, dabbled in corporate for a lead mixologist position with a destination hotel's autograph collection. Mm-hmm. Property. And then about 5 years ago, 6 years ago, was when I really got to the level where I'm at now, which is, you know, working for the Barter and Shake Creative Hospitality Group. I was their original bar manager at Undertow. Mm. And then worked my way up to general manager and got to go on all those fun trips. I think that's where I met you at.
Yeah. Hukilau. We met at Hukilau in Florida.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I was with that group for about 4.5 years, and then the world stopped with the pandemic. And I know everybody was fearful and frightful, but had the opportunity in October of 2020 to open a cocktail bar downtown Phoenix, just on the brink. And it's been an amazing process thus far. We just got a Tails nomination.
I was going to say that's highball, and you guys got a regional Tails nom, right? And yeah. I was just like, oh my God, that's amazing. Cause it's like your first year.
We're 2 years. We'll be, this November. So, amazing. We're really thrilled.
Congratulations. Also, that's so awesome.
Thank you.
I love that Tails is doing the regional stuff
too,
you know, cause even if you don't make it down to the final 10 or whatever, it's still great to know that, you know, in your neighborhood, people care about you that much, you know, people think of you highly. Amazing.
Totally.
Amazing.
And so right now, like I know it's been almost a week since we got the notification, but now I really want to check out all of these new, like, top 10 bars in each region, because obviously these people are doing the right thing. And it's very, you know, interesting to me to see like what different markets and what other like-minded creatives are doing.
Yeah.
So I'm like, right, this is my bucket list of like, where do I travel to next?
And I always look at once they started doing that, it was great for me too, because when I would go travel, you know, if I looked at the Tails noms, I'd see the 10 and I'm like, oh, now I can actually look regionally. So if I'm going to Chicago, you know, I can see what's there, or even, you know, Idaho, because there are things showing up in states that have been neglected, you know, by the scene. It's very easy to market everything into San Francisco and New York, you know, San Francisco, New York, you know, maybe Baltimore, some Chicago and Miami, but like Los Angeles for the longest time was never on that list. And I'm like, that's impossible. San Diego, where I grew up, not on that list. Arizona, virtually ignored forever until Bitter and Twisted. I feel like Bitter and Twisted kind of
put
Phoenix on the map, and then Undertow came along. So now you've been part of a couple bars that have received some accolades. So you must be doing something right.
It's a really great feeling. I love the idea of the regionals nominations, just because it is highlighting all of these other fantastic folks in our own neighborhood too. There was an up and comer, I think it was Best New Restaurant Bar US across the pond, and they've been friends of ours for a long time. So excited to see them, you know, rise up too, a rising tide lifts all boats. So
totally
part of that.
Well, you have to tell me about your first bartending job, because those are always the funnest one. You said you were like 18 in a dive bar or something. Is that really the case?
It was. So I went to college just outside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. The nightclub that I had worked at was very, I would say it wasn't glamorous. It wasn't like nightclub with like sparklers and bottle service and stuff like that. You know, it was one of those jobs where you had to come dress the part, high heels on, manicured nails, you know, sex sells. And like, it was just a party. It was just a college party. And, you know, I've reminisced on this a lot, because, you know, especially like the technique of craft that I've learned now, my first jigger was a little like Dixie cup with like sharp marks on it. And like, before we got our, like, our name tag, like lanyards and we had headphones. It was that place. We would have to like free pour and like hit our marks. And like, if we didn't, we couldn't work that night. So
But
it was like, it was a college town. So, you know, I loved the, you know, the party environment and like also just hustling and making some cash on the side. So yeah, that was my first job.
That's hilarious. It's perfect though. It's totally perfect. Great. Especially, I mean, I've said this too. I'm like, when I look back at pictures of myself when I was younger, I'm all, man, I was really hot. Why didn't I milk that? So might as well make a little extra cash with your high heels. You know, I mean, I wore stilettos all the time anyway. At some point when you came out of that, when you moved on to, so you said some golf courses.
Some golf courses.
Is that like the more, country clubish kind of vibe when you were doing that?
Yeah, a little bit. I had worked at, you know, every once in a while I would do like the whole cart girl thing, or like, you know, the little concession stand type deal, like grab and go beers, like reload your cart type deal. But then worked at a restaurant that was on the property of a golf course in North Scottsdale. And, you know, liked was drawn basically to the, you know, the adrenaline of working hospitality. And so, I had moved out here for another job in wedding and events planning, didn't really like that. And so kind of like, all right, well, I'm just going to go back full time to hospitality. And while I figure it out, I was new to Phoenix, wanted to give it a try. I'd just driven all the way out here from Pennsylvania. So I was like, there's no way I'm going back now. And then, yeah, that's just kind of how that cookie crumbled. And then it got to a time and place where I realized that, like, I am not only like really good at this, but like, I enjoy creating experiences because I enjoy having those experiences. So like, if I could share my talents and create spaces and create a feeling, whether it's through, you know, the environment, like Undertow's totally immersive space, you know, badass cocktails or, you know, music or whatever. Like, that's just, I was like, this is my niche. So
I'm in it. Pursued that. So when did you find yourself feeling like you were kind of coming into your own? I mean, this could have been like when you first were given opportunity to, you're creating your own cocktails or choosing the environment.
I mean, honestly, it was the inception of Highball Cocktail.
Oh yeah.
Where I'm a co-creator at now. You know, having had worked for the company that I had, there was obviously a very large umbrella. Like I had mentorship and there was a team and, you know, I was a leader in developing those teams and kind of those processes behind the mechanisms of that, space. But, it wasn't really until like I had the realization that like, holy shit, like nobody else is responsible for this other than myself and my partner, Mitch Lyons, who I had also worked with at, Undertow. He was kind of like my right-hand person at Undertow. We worked our way up together. So it's just the two of us, that created Highball. And we're like, well, what is this space going to be to us? Because this is now 100% a representation of who we are. Mm-hmm. So what steps are we going to take? What's our game plan essentially? So, you know, we decided together that like our mission was just to create a space that offered comfort and quality and something for everyone. Especially when we opened in the pandemic or, you know, moving out of it.
Yeah.
And people just wanted comfort, you know, and still do after being locked up for so long. Like the distractions with like, you know, bells and whistles and cocktail bars is also very cool. And, but it was just like, we just want something that feels good.
When I saw you opening that place, I, you know, here comes Highball. I thought, oh, is it just a bar of highballs? You know, is it going to be just all two ingredient stuff and everything? It was very much my first thought, but of course it's not. I mean, so tell me about the concept of what Highball started as and what it has become besides that community thing, like the menu, the look, all this, because it looks gorgeous.
Yeah.
It looks really beautiful.
So it's kind of crazy how this story came to be. A gal that I had worked with before, actually at Marriott, she'd reached out to me and she was like, hey, it's been a long time since we've spoken, but I kind of saw via social media that you're a free agent right now. The company that I work for just purchased a bar and I want, if you're available, to come and see it tomorrow. So that's really, it was just like, you know, I had been laid off a few days prior and it was just like, wow, this has a lot of potential behind it. So the building was purchased or the business was purchased. The space itself had been a dive bar for about like 12 years.
Oh, wow.
Kind of like a neighborhood hole in the wall. It had an interesting crowd of people, kind of dabbled in like EDM music. They had live DJs and it was an art gallery at one point and a cocktail lounge. And so the space had some history. And when I rolled up to the building, I was just like, oh gosh, I know exactly where this is. second floor of a historic building. The building was built in like 1938. I did some digging. Historic brick building, very beautiful space, original hardwood floors. The whole MO of the construction of it was just to like, let's strip it down to what this bare bones space is, with like the exposed historic brick floors, wrought iron type deal. We installed a copper bar top. So it's, I actually just polished it the other day. It's like brand new all over.
Oh, yay.
But then the overall vibe that we wanted to create was just like kind of that dark, sexy New York big city cocktail lounge. So like deep leather couches, long black velvet drapes, some historic like vintage pieces, palms, you know, some greenery here and there. But really just wanted to like focus on, you know, good cocktails and like enjoying yourself. So
yeah, it looks very sophisticated. And I'm like, ooh, when I saw the pictures, I was just like, oh, it's fancy. I like it. You know, it does look like that. And I love spaces like that. Cause you go in there and you do feel good when you go into a place like that and you sit down, if you're not intimidated by a place like that. And it sounds like you guys have made effort to not be intimidating at all. Just be like, welcome. And you're allowed to be here and luxuriate in this.
Exactly. No, yeah.
Which is nice.
And we really, you know, given the location that we're at, we're on the brink of downtown Phoenix. We're kind of sandwiched on the border of two historic neighborhoods. We really just wanted to create a space where everybody feels like they can come as they are. Mm-hmm. You know, if you want to dress up and be fancy on the weekends, awesome. I love when people do that. Mm-hmm. But if you're, you know, coming from downtown after watching the Suns game, or you just got off of work, like just pull up a seat at the bar, just, you know, make yourself at home and either grab a Miller High Life and a green chartreuse or go for like one of our signature.
Like you're speaking my language.
Right.
I would just stick with the green chartreuse though. My husband can take the Miller High Life. That's amazing. You must be so happy that you got to do this. I mean, and it's great too, to see a woman up here leading, you know, in this. I know you're not technically bar owner, right? It's our,
so we're management.
You guys are the management.
Some ownership in it.
I would hope so. Yeah. I would think you'd be able to do that. Cause it's, you know, there are women owning bars is a thing. I mean, I have one here in Los Angeles and there are very few of us. About your cocktails and such, because you started in the club just kind of trying to fill up a Dixie cup and went, you know, to the country or went to the golf courses, but then wound up at Undertow. And I'm not sure I myself have actually never been to Undertow still. I used to be out in Phoenix a lot because I used to program music for some restaurants out there.
Okay, nice.
Le Grand Orange, I think, the grocery store, that whole chain, all those people. And so I was out there a bunch. And then once I stopped going there, all these cool bars started opening.
Right.
And I'm like, great. Yeah. Now I'm not there all the time. But Undertow, I mean, I know so many people who have gone there and speak so highly of their cocktails and their tiki cocktails, which means there are 2,000 ingredients in there.
Oh, totally.
So I'm assuming you had some skills before you got there. So how was your cocktail making? How did that develop? When did you go from just making pouring shots to actually crafting?
How do I unravel this story? I think honestly, there was one job that I held in Phoenix at a local pizzeria called Parlor. And it was garden to table. You know, like the owner had a garden at his house that we would like, you know, pick herbs and things for like weekend salad specials or pizzas.
Nice.
Or that. And so, I mean, that was really like my first playground where I had a lot of like great people around me on that little bar team that, that I picked skills up from, you know, balance and using and, you know, whole herbs and fruits and kind of working and learning about new Amaros and different gins and products, whatever. That was really like my first experimental position. And then I was kind of, I was recruited to work for the hotel property. And so that's where I kind of took those skills and like made them into my own. And then once I got picked up by Undertow, when I started working there, that's when it like really got serious. Obviously working with Jason Asher, and he has an incredible palette. That was really like, whoa, I learned so much there. That's, you know, that was my training ground essentially. We worked really hard as a team to like, you know, perfect our craft of bartending, you know, to help your body not hurt it, to do it proper, to be accurate, consistent, and fast. So that's really like where I honed in on those skills. And then it, you know, it became a not only a hobby, but a passion. And like, I love doing it. I love being behind the bar. And so I just kept strengthening that muscle essentially.
That's, you know, you saying, helping your body as opposed to harming it. That's actually something I think that's super valid. And we've seen much more of in the last couple of years within that industry. You know, there are bars that are starting to list all drinks on their menu, but they include the no ABV in with a regular drink so that you can see, okay, well, this is going to be a high proof cocktail. This is going to be a low proof cocktail. This is going to have no booze in it whatsoever, so that people can make more informed decisions if they just want to have a treat versus if they want to get drunk. And sometimes it is just the ingredients. Is that something that you still play with a little bit at Highball today?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we're the spirits industry is continuously evolving. I mean, tasting new products all the time. We're you know, developing new specs for cocktails, kind of have like a cocktail Rolodex of just even rudimentary ideas, dishes that we've enjoyed eating out somewhere, flavors that we've pulled from them, how we create a cocktail based around this flavor profile. Or one of my favorite cocktails on our menu right now is actually like a variation of a Pisco Sour. But it's paid homage to one of our favorite restaurants in town called Gly Bon. It's a local, very small owned, family owned Thai restaurant. And they've always been large supporters of myself and Mitch over the years. And now they frequent Highball. So we developed this cocktail to kind of emulate one of the desserts on their menu, which is a mango sticky rice. The Thai coconut, dense milk, mango puree, white rum, pisco, a little bit of Angostura and fresh.
Oh my God, that sounds like, delicious.
But like, we're obsessed with that dessert. And we're like, how can we make a creamy drink that tastes like this? So
That sounds so good.
We're all.
I got to get out there. That sounds so good.
Absolutely. I'm actually going there tonight for dinner. So
now I'm jealous. My husband claims to hate Thai food, but it's only because he lived in Thai town in LA and would eat cheap Thai food, not go for the good stuff. So I'm like, but when you have good Thai food, it's amazing. I went to Thailand because I love Thai food so much. You know?
Either cheap or fancy. I mean, some of the best is like the most simple things in life.
Totally. Absolutely.
I see it in restaurants a lot, and even too in bar concepts or bar menus where it's like, there's too many ingredients trying to be thrown at the wall, you know, just trying to see what sticks rather than like, just do what like makes sense and tastes good. I feel like,
I think about it that way too. I really have a lot of respect for the people who can create a very complex, multi-layered, the tropical drinks tend to roll that way, as you know. They'll have like 12 or 15 ingredients in there. And I just sit there and think, wow, I just would never have the patience to come up with something like this. I feel like, of course it's doable, but it almost feels like way more science than I have the patience for at that point.
There's a lot of that involved as well. A lot of science involved in it too, but
I am sure.
You know, I just, it doesn't, just because it's more complex or more expensive doesn't mean it's the best.
So. Right. Totally. I've definitely gone in and seen the most complicated daiquiri ever. When I look at it, I'm like, geez, okay, you have this many rums and this is this and blah, blah, blah. And sometimes that totally works. And I taste it. I'm like, tastes like a daiquiri. You know, it tastes like a good daiquiri, but at the same time, it's not a daiquiri when I walk away that I'm going to remember forever. It was good. It was a nice drink. Was it worth all the time and effort that you put into it? You know, if they're happy with it, great. I was happy with it, but I'm not walking away getting that full, oh my God, the layers, the this, you know, all the things that were done. And obviously time and a place for everything. So, so you guys have done this menu and created all of this, but you've also created the space. And when I was asking you about your playlist, you, and I said, oh, it doesn't have to be 10 tracks. You sent me what, is that a 500 track playlist?
Probably. Yeah. My gosh. I don't know. I have like several of them, and I honestly, like on my days off, I'm always listening to them and kind of like auditing, like it's a continual process.
Oh yeah. You have to tweak playlists. They're never done.
And then it's like, sometimes I'm just like, okay, I'm kind of tired of hearing this song. Even though the playlists are very long, but it's just kind of like, all right, well, what algorithm rabbit hole is Spotify or Apple Music going to take me down today? You know?
So are you the one then? Are you responsible for the playlists at Highball?
I am.
Wow. Cause that's a lot. It's a lot.
It is a lot.
How did you land that responsibility? Were you the nerdiest of music nerds in the duo between you and Mitch?
I wouldn't say the nerdiest, but I don't know. I really enjoy music, and I, you know, it's a feeling, and I get that question a lot, like, well, who's your favorite artist? What's your favorite genre?
Yeah.
And like, I honestly don't know. Like, same. I've got favorites, and I know what I like. I just, mm-hmm. I know what I like. But yeah, so out of the two of us, I mean, I even have a couple of friends that will send me tracks here and then. Like, we don't even respond to one another. It's just like, I'll send music, they'll send music, whatever. And it's like, mm-hmm. Oh, I like this song. I'm going to add it to the playlist. Same with Mitch. He sends me music too. But it was something that I wanted to have full responsibility for. When we first opened, I kind of wanted to play more of that like old school, like, you know, mushroom jazz and like mm-hmm. Wax Taylor and some old school R&B hip hop,
nice.
That sort of thing.
And then it grooves
evolved into like a lot of everything because, you know, I don't like staying in just one box, mm-hmm, I feel. So yeah, it's continuously evolving. I think the one I sent you was like 12 hours long.
Yeah, it's really long. I laughed when I saw it and I'm like, okay, this is definitely the longest one I've received so far. Really? I did have one that was like 300 songs. Wow. I have another one that's like 120 or something, but I got that one and it's Highball Chill, right? So it came through. And I was telling you, I'm like, I've been working the most insane hours, but I think and you sent that one. And I'm like, oh, how did she know this is the one I need? Right. So yeah. I would ask you if you had a favorite playlist at this time, but sometimes it's like asking about your favorite child or pet or something.
Yeah.
What's the gamut of playlists that you have for the bar that you've created? You probably have a couple of different ones.
Yeah. I mean, like I have a lower vibe, playlist that is definitely more of that, like, I don't know, eclectic, like, mm-hmm. like Leon Bridges, Sun Little, those sort of like chill,
I
like
love Sun Little,
sink into a chair, like, and enjoy a great stirred drink, like, you know, lower vibe music for midweek. And then that chill playlist that I sent you, even though I feel like I need to like adjust that title of that playlist because it does have some eclectic, like more upbeat tunes to it as well. But, and then I've got another playlist that's like more of that, like late night, high energy, kind of like, you know, full cocktail bar, having fun on the weekend type music. So
awesome. Yeah,
always changing.
Well, then what is, okay. I always ask this question too. Well, actually I don't always ask this question. I just want to know, what was your first concert?
Oh gosh. my first concert, I probably saw like a friend's band in high school. It was like my first, you know, going out experience with live music. But, fun fact, I actually had an internship in college at Sony Music.
Oh,
for a couple of months. I was at Jive Records in their marketing department. And I got to go to a lot of like new up and coming artists, but I got to go see Alicia Keys.
My God, that must have been so good.
When she was doing her like dueling piano concert, and it was absolutely fantastic.
She is a legit goddess. I love her so much. And when she like hosts the Grammy sometimes, and she's so like hippie chick and what's up? We got this. And the first time I saw her like in that mode, well, I guess it's just how she is. I was just like, whoa, I did not expect her to be like that at all. And now it's like, the whole thing. She just seems so honest and organic to me, and I love it. I'm totally there for it.
She is an aura. I mean, I appreciated her music and her talent prior to seeing her. Mm-hmm. But then when I had that job and like was, you know, it was kind of like, hey, we've got a couple of extra tickets. Like if you want to catch this train, like go see this concert. And it was like, oh my God, we opened the envelope and it was Alicia Keys. We're like, oh my gosh, it was insane.
That's so good.
My internship partner, but it was just one of those life-changing musical moments in my life. And just the raw talent that she has is incredible.
She's so incredible. So have you ever created a cocktail on musical loves? Like, has there been an Alicia Keys inspired cocktail, or maybe that's something to come in the future?
I don't think I've created a cocktail in association to music. Mm-hmm. Surprisingly.
Yeah. I was going to say,
maybe something in the future.
Yeah. That might be like a special menu or something to come, right? Because obviously you love music and know a lot of different genres of it as well.
Yeah.
You know, spread out there. So you can have fun with it.
I feel like for me personally, the way that I work, it would be easier for me to, kind of reverse engineer that pairing, like, listen to a song that it's like, oh my gosh, this is really inspiring. And then kind of like correlate it and develop a story in connection to a cocktail.
Your cocktail
that I've already made or something like that. I don't know.
Maybe.
Challenge myself with that.
I was going to say, wheels are turning. I can see it.
Definitely turning.
Well, if you're sitting at home and then listening to something, what are you listening to and what are you sipping on?
Oh gosh. Well, I'm surprisingly a wine lover. I do drink a lot of wine.
A lot of bartenders, when they're home, they're just like, I'm just drinking beer. I'm having a beer or I'm drinking some wine.
Yeah, you
know, it's very simple.
Like very simple, lower ABV. Mm-hmm. Cocktails are my life and I'm always constantly tasting things and, mm-hmm. and whatnot. But like, you know, I can always appreciate a badass Paloma at home. Or even I'm surprisingly a vodka drinker too. Mm-hmm. And so even just like a Greyhound with vodka or like a quick stirred martini.
Yeah.
I've got a little martini leftover in my freezer of a vodka with blanc vermouth and a little bit of like an alpine liqueur.
Ooh, nice.
Kind of like a 50-50 martini.
Yeah.
With like that kind of like coastal alpine
vodka. Yeah, I like it.
Casa Beltrano olive and a rosemary sprig. So it was left over from a dinner party. And I like this morning,
stuck it in the freezer. And you're like, yes. And what would you be listening to while you're sipping on that alpine martini?
What have I been listening to lately? I don't know much about this artist, but I somehow found it through a James Blake playlist that I was listening to, but the group is called Leisure. Mm-hmm. And it's just very relaxing. And like, that's kind of like the mood that I've been in lately. So nice. I think I'm going to ride
that. That's going to be that. Yeah, that sounds good. I like it. Well, I didn't realize this, but my Zoom thing is running out of time, which it never used to do.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. I used to have all this time, but now we don't. So we actually have to wrap things up, but it's cool. Cause we've been talking for a half hour or so anyway. And I just wanted to have you, you know, just tell people how they can find you. Find Highball, all that socials and all that kind of information.
Right. Right. So the Highball Instagram is at Highball PHX as in Phoenix. We've got a really well-developed page in my mind. I love photography and good drinks. So it's a expression of those talents there and in my team. My personal Instagram is Ula Libby. I also co-own, along with Mitch, my partner at Highball, a consulting company called Two Hands, PHX. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just starting the content for that account.
Excellent.
So those are the ways that you can find us.
Yeah. And otherwise people should head out to Phoenix because it has really become in the last like 10 years, a really wonderful drinking and dining destination.
Right.
You it know, really there's is. A lot of options now.
It's quirky. It's a vast city. There's a lot of up and coming, great, talented people in hospitality out here. And it's definitely not a place to be slept on.
Yeah. Yeah. And during the day, if you don't want to do that, I know you can still get some good tacos and burritos out there.
Oh,
okay. For sure. Okay. So don't go away, but thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Mo.
just so great. And now you know that if you go into Highball, you will not only be drinking her drinks, but she's also the music director and you'll be listening to her tunes as well. I think it's a pretty good deal and it's a beautiful space from what I can tell. I can't wait to visit. And it's not even that far away from me. So it's very much in the realm of possibilities. But any of you traveling through Phoenix, Arizona, make sure you stop by Highball and check out those fantastic drinks. Follow her Instagram and all that. And go to my Spotify page at SheBeMo. Look me up there because I have a playlist that Livvy gave us. It is her chill out mix, her Highball chill out mix. And it is over a day long. It is 29 hours and there is amazing stuff on it. Like everything that you heard in this episode is in that mix. So if you're ever in the need for a wind down, go on over to the SheBeMo Spotify page and look up Libby's playlist because it is a thing of beauty. Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you by Barkeeper, a head shop for cocktail lovers, located at 614 North Hoover Street in Silver Lake, Los Angeles. Stop by for barware, vintage glassware, a carefully curated collection of spirits, and one of the most impressive selections of bitters anywhere. Follow them on Instagram and Facebook for information regarding spirits tastings. That's barkeepersilverlake.com. And also in the Virgil Village neighborhood of Silver Lake, Los Angeles. Thank you for tuning in to our barroom chats on Music and Booze with Mo. For more info about today's guest, or if you want to connect with me, check out my Facebook page, Mo Herms. Please subscribe to the podcast and feel free to tell all your friends about it. While you're there, give the show a rating and a review. It really helps to get the word out. If you want to hear the playlists our guests have curated, search SheBeMo on Spotify, SheBMO. Find pictures of the interviewees and the cool stuff they create on the Music and Booze with Mo Instagram account. Lower your expectations and join us at the bar. Till next time, cheers.